Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 14 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Pirkley Rodenhurst from Herenia. Surviving trading in these volatile markets. I'll come to some details on that. It is ugly out there. Craig Gradich from Gradich Mohora. He's got some BEE shares, two with really strong dividends and one with a potentially strong dividend, but all at discount to fair value. Amy Arnold from Morningstar Investment Managers. Using bonds, how do you try and smooth this volatility in the investing world? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Current bond market yields favor income funds. There's a lot of love out there right now for SA bonds because of those yields, which are sitting at around about 10%. Business day, Charles Schwab to pay a $187 million settlement for misleading robo-advisor clients. I just wonder how much of that money goes to the clients who got misled. Morning markets. Okay, this gets depressing. US red. S&P down 3.9%. NASDAQ off 4.6%. That is new lows for the year for both of them. S&P officially in bear market. It's down 21.8% from the highs of last year. NASDAQ down 31.7% from the highs of last year, and we're down 15.5%. Asia, red. Sydney off 4.8%. Tokyo down 2%. Commodities mostly red. Gold, 1,827. Brent, 122.40 a barrel. That is the only green on my screen this morning, and green we don't need. Platinum, 933. Palladium, 1,809. Rand, 1,605. Top 40 opening call. 500 points to the green, giving us about a 0.8 open. This as 10 cent trades down 1.5% and Bitcoin trades below 22,000.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Pirkley Rodenhurst, founder at Herenia Capital Advisors. Pirkley, appreciate the early morning. Your weekend update was look out below, and indeed, we're now below. But it was a tweet that you put out yesterday, and particularly around trading is distinct from investing. And you made the point that this is one of the toughest markets that you've seen, and if you're flat for the year or even only slightly green, you're winning. This has been a tough year, and it's that volatility.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. And I think we've spoken about this a number of times already this year, is that as long as the volatility regime stays as high as it is, you know, having a healthy portion of cash is a very healthy spot to be in, right? And it's been tough, eh? I mean, I think one of the, I have to admit, I mean, my career is maybe not as long and as illustrious as many other commentators that you get the opportunity to speak to, but this is absolutely one of the more difficult environments that I've witnessed. You know, if we look particularly, you know, I like to use the VIX as something that I've sort of started using, I guess relatively recently, but I like to use the VIX to try and get a gauge for where the market is. And if you were trusting of the VIX over the last month or so, you'd probably be long the market at this stage, because we had volatility actually sort of subside. The term structure didn't entirely normalize as it should. And then, well, the bottom fell out last week, Wednesday, right? Thursday. So, it's been a very tough environment. And I think the most important, thing for traders to have been doing over the last month or so, well, year, I guess, is risk management, right? I think a lot of people enter into the market having very, you know, wide eyes and innocent notions about how easy and successful they're going to be, with trading. And then, you know, you get a very hard reality check that you need to learn how to protect your money before you even worry about making money.
And I take your point on that, absolutely protected. And one of the ways is, and we were chatting yesterday afternoon, and you commented that some of the traders on your platform, they just took Monday off. The point is, we don't have to play. We can look at it and say, you know what, this is just going to hurt today, and just bow out. Because a flat day, you know, if you made no money yesterday, but you also lost no money yesterday, heck, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's very much about survival, right? And if you have the opportunity to sort of step away from the desk and say, look, I don't have to participate in this. You know, there's a few things I think to remember, because I think what happens in moments like this is that obviously tensions start to rise, right? Mm. If you are a long-term investor and you are predominantly an equity investor and you are invested in companies that you know and believe in, there's no real reason to do anything for you, right? Yeah. These times are bad. They come and go. If you're a shorter-term trader, you know, get out the market, go and surf, do something else. I don't know. Go for a hike if you're not by the beach. Just stay away from the market. Because as you just said, it is better to rather not make money than to lose money.
Yeah. One of my strategies, I don't short because of that volatility. And therefore, I've done hardly any trades this year. My equity curve is actually slightly green. Not because I'm a brilliant trader, but because I spend most of the year sitting in cash on my hands.
Just doing nothing.
And a quick last point. I mean, I'm imagining we've had quite a flush out since that inflation number of last week. I mean, to your post on Sunday, it still look out below. I mean, this is not necessarily over, and certainly anyone calling a bottom here is probably going to lose fingers.
Yeah, look, I think the Fed is speaking later this week, so we'll get a fair grip on what the inflation expectations is. A lot of this, I think, is inflation-driven. And I think something interesting to take note of, oil yesterday recovered. It's trading back above 121, Brent crude, right? So during all of this, oil is remaining strong. I think when we see equities bounce, oil rips. That's sort of what I'm keeping an eye on. But yeah, I mean, for now, you know, I think we said this some time ago, we spoke about Nasdaq. So I'm like, the time will come to buy it, but the time is not today. That's kind of what I think. And I think if we see similar action to what we have been seeing over the last 6 months, we might see a fierce bear market rally this morning. But yeah. I'll tell you one thing, if Aussie opens 80 basis points to the green, that's a good opportunity for me to short it.
This trend,
I think it's going to get continue to be messy for the rest of the week.
Yeah, this trend is down. Fed speaks Wednesday evening after our close. And then, of course, we are closed Thursday, which is going to be quite messy. And I'll also remind you, you said at 30,000, you said you'd buy Bitcoin at 15. We're almost at that 15. Stuff has got very real, very quick. That's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Trading with Pietri there about these very volatile markets. He says it's the toughest he's traded. As I said, I've refined my trading. So I'm finding this easy because it's just telling me, you know, I do longs only and there aren't any longs out there. Question is, how's your trading been going so far in 2022? Trading is distinct from your long-term investing. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Craig Gradage, co-founder of Gradage Mahura Investments. Craig, appreciate the time today. You were tweeting, I think it was at Friday, perhaps over the weekend, about some of the BEE shares, the Motus, the Sasol, the MultiChoice, and potentially really strong dividends coming out of them. Some announced, some perhaps still to come.
Yes, good morning, Simon, and good morning to your listeners. Putumanati announced their results last week. Mm-hmm. And they declared a dividend of 22 rand a share. It's been pretty much the same dividend for the last 4 years now of 22 rand a share. But when you factor in that the share was trading at 150 bucks, it works out to quite a decent dividend yield of over 14.6%. So from that one, and then recently we also saw Ukamba 2 declare a dividend. Mm-hmm. Ukamba 2 is invested in Motus, and there they declared a dividend of Rand 46. It was just under Rand 46. And at the time, they were trading at about 18 Rand a share, so roughly an 8% dividend yield. The one unknown is Sasol. Mm-hmm. I suppose the expectation with Sasol is that Sasol will declare a dividend at the next set of results. I know expectations were quite high for the previous, I think it was the interims, where the market was expecting a dividend because of, you know, the fuel price. The Sol BE1 share, which is essentially a discounted Sasol share, gets the same dividend that a Sasol ordinary shareholder would get. The trick is that Sol BE1 is trading at a 60% discount to Sasol. So Sasol's trading at 402 rand a share, Sol BE1's trading at 160. Sasol declares, say, 16 rand dividend, for example, which would put it on roughly a 4% yield. That would work out or translate to a 10% yield for the Sol BE shareholders. So that one, there's potential there.
Yeah, potential. I didn't realize that the full dividend flowed through to it. These are obviously BE stocks. So the Sol BE1, that does trade on the JSN. You can buy that through a stockbroker. Are the other two trading on their own over-the-counter platforms?
Yes, the other two trade on the Singular Systems as Equity Express platform. Mm-hmm. So you could open an account there and you could trade in those shares. So Ukamba, we value it at roughly 37, 36 rand a share. A bit of a moving target with the motor share price all over the place.
Yeah.
But that currently trades at roughly 20, 22 rand a share. So about a 40% discount. I would say fair value is a 30% discount to cater for liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
And then for any kind of risk coming out of the funding arrangement. So as you can see, Sol BE1, there's no funding risk. Mm-hmm. It's a pure discounted share. So there's no funding involved. That typically long-term average is a 30% discount. It's double that. So if it goes to, if it just moves back to that long-term discount, it should trade at roughly 280 rand a share, which is about 70% higher than where it's trading today.
That's the point. I mean, there's great discounts either announced or, in the case of Sasol, potentially coming. But you can also value these things, and you won't go into the weeds with them. But, you know, there's a funding structure. There's some debt there as well. You take 30% off for liquidity, and you get to a fair value for that BE share. And in all these cases, these fair values are well above where the shares are currently trading. I mean, and I suppose that is, more than anything, perhaps, it's back to that liquidity.
Yes. I mean, you know, of the three, only Ukamba has debt in it.
Okay.
The Putumanati, the debt's been settled in Putumanati. Sol BE1 was a discounted share, so there was no debt. You paid a discounted price, and that discount widened. Ukamba 2, which there is still some debt in there. It's roughly about a 37% debt to equity. So quite a low level of debt relative to the value of the asset, and quite a cash generative asset as well. So, you know, it shouldn't be too much of an issue for them to settle the debt or clear the debt within the next 3 or 4 years.
We'll leave it there, Craig Gradage, co-founder of Gradage Mohura Investment. Craig, always appreciate the insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Amy Arnott, a portfolio strategist at Morningstar Investment Management. Amy, appreciate the time today. One of the things, right, it's huge volatility we're seeing in markets. One of the weird is the local market in South Africa is ahead, but markets generally are extremely volatile, and we'd come into the year, I think, expecting perhaps a easier period and lower volatility.
Right. It definitely has been a difficult start to the year. And one of the things that's made it even more difficult is that both stocks and bonds are down so far this year. So you haven't gotten as much of a benefit from diversification into fixed income securities as you usually would.
And the key point is that, you know, the typical, I mean, in times of volatility like this, it's about that diversification. Is that then making bonds a potentially attractive space to look at?
Right. I think, you know, now that we have seen bond yields increase significantly, they're definitely looking more attractive than they were 6 months ago or so. But I should point out that, you know, there's definitely the potential for continued increases in interest rates, which would be negative for bonds. So, you know, you have to weigh that and consider your time horizon and also look carefully at the maturity or duration of the bonds or bond funds that you're considering. And if you're concerned about rising interest rates, you probably want to be favoring shorter maturity securities.
Shorting maturity securities on the equity side. I mean, we can almost, you know, we've seen prices come down. We can debate there's pockets that were very expensive. But is it a case of here as well? There's volatility, but perhaps it's the case of it's a diversified portfolio and it's that deploying of cash.
Right. I mean, if you look at the recent volatility in the market, it has been definitely higher than usual. But from a longer term historical perspective, volatility and even periodic losses in the market are to be expected. So if you know, kind of take a broader perspective, you could look at this as a buying opportunity, you know, realizing that the volatile period that we're in could last for a while.
Is there, I mean, we've talked bonds, which is a near cash, we've talked equities. I mean, is there a space for just good old-fashioned cash right now, or does the high inflation perhaps negate that?
Right. So it's, you know, difficult or impossible to try to time the market.
Fair point.
A lot of people have increased their cash to try to take shelter from the volatility and losses that we've seen in the market. But as you mentioned, there is a risk, especially with higher inflation, that if you try to take shelter in cash, that the growth won't keep up in inflation adjusted terms. And you could also run the risk of missing out on market rebound whenever that happens.
So, I take your point.
So our, you know, recommendation would be make sure you have a diversified portfolio, and if the original portfolio mix that you have decided on still makes sense for your situation, we wouldn't recommend making any dramatic changes at this point.
Yeah, I take your point. Going to cash is a decision, and that's trying to time the market, to your earlier point. That is not easy. We'll leave it there. Amy Arnott, Portfolio Manager, Morningstar Investment Management. Appreciate the time today. That's it for today. A poll on our Twitter and LinkedIn yesterday was around that US inflation number that came out on Friday, 40-year high at 8.6%. And the question was, will this get the Fed perhaps a little more aggressive at their meeting this week? We must remember that initially the thinking for interest rate increases was 2024, then it was next year, then it was second half of this year, then it was quarter points, so now we're at half a percentage points. And half of you said that they will stick with 0.5%. But a quarter each was saying they're going to do either 0.75% or perhaps even a full percent. That's my point. I mean, do they need to go full flocker and start doing 1% increases? We've got Adrian Civil on tomorrow. That is going to be my question to him. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabokle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.